So in Topeka, you've got Republicans who are trying to get more school choice for parents and kids across the state. But unfortunately, it was always going to be a tough road. It's looking more difficult by the day as Republicans are, it seems to be, battling with each other over the issue. I wanted to welcome on Kansas State Rep. Christy Williams. She is the chair of a House Committee on K-12 Education Spending. Representative, good morning. Thank you for being here. So where do Republicans on the House side, on your side, but also from what you're hearing on the Senate side, where are we right now on the idea of bringing more school choice to Kansas kids around the state?
Well, good morning. It was a battle to get it across the line in the House. And it's not because Republicans don't believe that it's an important topic. It's not because conservative Republicans don't believe that parents should have a choice and they should be able to make decisions about the best education for their child. But it's because there's a lot of pressure and fear that comes from our schools. They are the number one lobbying group in the Capitol. And so what we really need to do is bring Republicans together in a grassroots fashion to give support to legislators as they're making these huge decisions.
So you are from the Wichita area, just for people up here who don't know, and you've been at the forefront of this battle. What do you think is realistic right now? I know that, you know, in a perfect world, maybe, at least in the eyes of some of us, we have state dollars following students to their education preferences, as is happening in Iowa and other parts of the country. Is that realistic, or is it looking more and more like we're just going to get something when it comes to education savings accounts?
You know what? I take every single day, one day at a time, and I focus on making sure that we put forth good policy. If the governor wants to veto this and wants to hold disadvantaged kids that are below grade level in the public schools and trap them in, then she can certainly do that. But I would think the best policy for her would be to do what she said she would do during the campaign, and that is govern from the middle. And that means that we can say yes to allowing kids to have the best possible education at their parents' choice, as well as pay significant increases to special education.
But where are you guys at right now? What do you think you're going to end up sending her based on some of the infighting that's happened amongst Republicans here the last day or so?
Well, we have a Senate bill, and it passed our House, and it's over in the Senate right now. I think they either concurred or will concur on it today. That means it would go to conference, and there might be some items that we remove, but the basic tenets of the education savings account will be sent to the governor.
Okay, so this is basically, if I'm reading into this properly, what this would allow is for people to donate to this education save, or not donate, but give money to this education savings account that could then be used by low-income kids around the state, which is similar to something that happened in Missouri the last couple of years. Is that correct in terms of what this would be?
Well, that's part of the equation. An education savings account actually takes the base aid amount, which is approximately $5,000, and that's only one quarter of the amount of money we spend on average in Kansas for each student. It places it into a savings account, and that savings account is like a flexible spending account that has real-time approval from a digital platform through the treasurer's office. And what it allows is you might be able to use it for tuition payment or for expenses in a micro school or tutoring or an online class. There are a variety of things that you can use it for. So it is the most innovative and flexible type of school choice that exists right now. And that's why it's so popular, is that it's not just funding traditional schools, whether private or public. It's allowing kids to have the best education, and it could be right in their home.
Okay, so this is actually, I might be misunderstanding, but I figure if I'm misunderstanding, then I know the audience is. You're actually saying that $5,000 that the state spends on each child in the state is going to be able to follow them to whatever educational experience they want?
Yes, and that's just, remember, that is just a small fraction of what in public education, which is actually around $9 billion. And there are two pathways and there are requirements to be a qualified student. If you're in a public school, to qualify, you would have to be free and reduced lunch eligible. So that's a family or a household that is at 185% poverty level or below. Or you would have to be performing on the lowest category of math or English language arts. And that means that you are below grade level. So we're really picking those kids that are struggling in school or have a disadvantage in terms of money. And they could never, ever step outside of public school because it would be too difficult financially.
Okay.
The other pathway is the non-public school students, and we capped it year one at 2,000, and you have to be at 300% poverty level or less. The next year is 4,000. It goes to 400% poverty level, and then the next year is 8,000 students, 400%. And finally, that universal year, it's open to anyone that's 600% poverty level or below. So we're really trying to hit families that might be in that middle class or a little bit above area that wouldn't necessarily send their kids to a private school because it's expensive.
Okay.
But it's not just private schools. It can be all kinds of things. I really want to emphasize that.
Okay. So this would not be for everybody in Kansas. This is really, you're targeting people on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale who could take advantage of this. This is not going to be for every parent or every family.
Socioeconomics for low income, for public school students?
In terms of the $5,000 voucher or whatever you want to call it, that's not like every parent is going to be able to apply that $5,000. It's only for those of a certain income threshold.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And in addition to that, there are limits on the number of students we would allow into the program from the non-public school perspective for the first 3 years.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. All right. So that's good to kind of clarify. And what is, when you say, 185%, 200%, 300% of the poverty level, what is that in the state of Kansas?
So what you could do is the federal poverty level for a family of four is $27,750. And so what you could do is you could simply take somebody's income, for example, $80,000, and divide it by that number to determine whether or not or what percentage you are for federal poverty level. So basically 185% is relatively low, and as you can imagine. However, the 300%, a couple of teachers might make too much money to qualify. So it really depends on your household income.
Hmm. Okay. And just so we know, why was there, it seems like conservative rural Republicans are some of the folks who were against truly allowing every dollar that the state puts towards each child to follow them in their educational goals and needs. Why is that? Because that seems very hypocritical to me.
Well, bottom line, rural schools have they have their challenges, and one of those challenges is a declining population and an aging population. An aging population means that you have fewer kids that are going to be enrolled in school. A declining population means that you have fewer families there as well. So those are two things that make it more difficult. If you have a school that only has 200 students in it, if you lose even 10 students, that's, to them, it's about money. And ultimately, what I say is, if your school is great, no one's going to leave your school. So it actually puts forth healthy competition. And also, Pete, we've found in states that have decades of choice, like Florida and Arizona, a couple things happen very interestingly. Number one, their public school academic outcomes just start to shoot upward. And it is an interesting phenomenon. I believe that's because the schools start to really work a little bit harder and think about their students and parents as clients, as customers, where they have to up their game. And so that seems to be one of the effects. And the other thing that we've seen in other states, that there really isn't a reduction in spending for public schools. As we all know right now, we are at that point with a Gannon decision where we are implementing the CPIU index on our base aid. That is causing significant 200 million plus a year increases. And so the public schools are doing well. We have committed to our public schools. That is not going to change. However, this is a more economical way to educate a kid if you can do it for one-fourth the cost.
Yeah. We'll be watching closely. Christy Williams, state rep out of Wichita area, joining us on KCMO Talk Radio, chair of a House committee, K-12 education, as this continues to go through the process up there in Topeka. Thank you so much, Representative. Appreciate your time.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yes, thank you. Have a great day.
You too as well. Thanks so much.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.